capacity building. Maybe I don't understand numbers very well, but then you should explain them to me. In Mpumalanga, the 2016-17 budget is just over 9.5 million, I think. Is it million? Of which 1.1 million was spent in the first quarter to train 2,404 farmers. In Limpopo, with a budget of 1.9 million rand was spent to train 224 farmers. Now, to me, it looks like a discrepancy. Maybe I'm not reading, or maybe I'm not understanding the numbers correctly, but I would nevertheless like to be explained how this works, why the discrepancy. Then, ever since I became a member of this portfolio committee, I've heard and I've been told that aquaculture is one of the most important ways in which the people out there, people, the population will be fed. And I'm disappointed when I look at all the presentations of all the provinces presenting here today, the lack of information. It seems as though money has been given, but in almost every incident, it is said that they in the beginning of the planning stages. Maybe there's an explanation for that. Sorry, let me just get to the one where I want more particulars. Yes, that would be in Limpopo, their aquaculture project of 20.6 million, and the three projects that they are planning. Maybe they can explain to me what they mean when they say the turf fish hatchery is at a tender stage. Now, I know they've said something about a processing plant that is 90% complete, but according to the report they've put in front of us, it is at 50% completion stage. Now, what is correct? Is it 50% or 90% complete? Thank you, Chair.
You are just new in the sector, so that you can ask Mawata if you want to ask.
No, thanks very much. I think next time, because I'm still learning, I'm listening, and even the question that you are asking to Limpopo, I think next time I'll be able to also to answer that.
Honorable Iva.
Nothing much, Chairperson.
Yeah.
I think important, firstly, is to welcome and applaud the table, the reports. They really reflect commitment on the side of the provinces. Yes, I was really taken up. But Chairperson, to cite a few, I was highly impressed by the Mpumalanga report on land care. Though I am residing in the Eastern Cape, I'm pretty sure, Chair, you can instruct me to go to Mpumalanga and monitor a project there. Why I'm saying, Chairperson, it's saying this in Mpumalanga here, a certain project on land care is in such in this ward. you know. But I don't see it now, Chairperson Ndini. I don't want you only frustrated up. I don't know. But the one was at Chief Lutuli Ward, you know.
Your time.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm so impressed the way Mpumalanga detailed the report, Chairperson. It is a pity that we do not have a standard format so that we are able to assess the performance of the provinces, because each province comes with its own approach and you get carried away. Whilst you understand that you understand what they are saying, another one comes with another approach, then at that point you get confused, you know. It's a pity, Chairperson, but it's well and good. There was a project, I do not know, I'm very sorry about the province, but a package on traditional leaders. That's it's Pumala? No. It was Northwest. Yes, that's one another project that chair I was interested to get more information. Lastly, Chair, I do not know. I thought there something would be said here. I don't know whether it was supposed to be said yesterday. Recapitalization project. You know, I will be guided by you, Chair, because there's one program that has a problematic where farmers have to apply and they have to wait for 3 years to get a response. We cannot condone that, Chairperson. We cannot condone. For a farmer to get a report, it's supposed to, a response has to wait for full 3 years in this program called the recapitalization. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm glad that our colleague from the Eastern Cape is now agreeing that there must some kind of guidelines and something from national when provinces get conditional grants, because that's what we sit with. We give the money to provinces out, but everyone come and report on their own way, and we don't know if this is the same programs. And as we have been mentioned, training in one province costs so much and in another province so much, and we don't get details. So we get confused if we get the same amount of money for provinces for something, but we get different reports on that, Chair. So it's good that I think everyone is together so that we can see what it is that we are struggling with. Chair, I'll start with the questions to all the provinces. So that is to everyone that reported. I would like some details, but some of it, Chairperson, will be difficult to report today. So I think, as our colleague said, if we can even get it in writing, I'll be happy. The first one is, how did the drought specifically impact in your province? The reason why I asked this question, if you look at one of the slides that was in the department's presentation, where you have this slide on summary of targets of hectares achieved per province, this one of Fetsatlala, and specifically the one that comes out immediately is Limpopo province. The target was 1,500, but you only planted 1,000. Now, this is on paper, but this must have impacted the farmers on the ground. If you listened carefully, Chair, yesterday to the presentations from the commercial sector, they spoke about food parcels for farmers and farm workers, all those kinds of things. So I want to find out from the provinces the impact on the ground. If you tell us only so much hectares, 6% of your hectares were planted, or 2% or whatever, what was the I'm talking about the people, not the figures on hectares and all of that. That is what I want to find out with that question. And then whether there were any job losses, because even thinking back to yesterday, the farmers said they're looking for assistance for farm worker subsidies. So did you find a problem that people had to lay off workers because of the impact of the drought? So we need to come to the human story of what happened. Then, Chairperson, on the identification of farmers, how were farmers identified? And one of the questions was asked when the presentation was on, I think it was the first one with Limpopo, if I can still remember, when there was a slide on the 71 feeding centers or whatever. So what we need to know, Chair, is on every area, if you provided and you said you have 75 areas where feed was distributed, how was farmers identified? How many farmers in an area were assisted? And then cost, Chairperson, because I have just seen yesterday, and I know this from, unfortunately it's Northwest, but it was the previous drought. On the 25 million or something was spent, I can't remember the exact figures. They say actual assistance on the ground was very little because a whole lot of money goes into transport and logistics and middlemen and all kinds of other things. So I would like to find out, and I've worked out some of the costs here where the presentations did include cost per bale or per whatever, and it's very high. So I want to know if you are checking what the costs are, and I know in certain areas in the Eastern Cape where I live, bales were coming from East London while farmers in that region did have feed available to sell. So I want to know, how do you do your sourcing when you buy, and sometimes it's difficult. I know when governments involve people, you know, increase the price, also sometimes for a reason because payment is late in some cases. So we need specific details, and that request also came yesterday, specifically on commercial farmers. So when you give your report, I would like to know it's small scale farmers, whatever, what's the other farmers? Commercial, and I just, everyone's farmers, but the way that you show it, because specifically in Mpumalanga, there was a page, not in your slide, but again, this one of the Department of Ilimalitsima, where it says, Mpumalanga province did not have a target for commercial farmers, but due to drought, assisted 2,738 farmers with feed for livestock. So this led to an achievement on commercial farmer support, overachievement on commercial farmer supported. And then yesterday we heard that no commercial farmers were supported massively. I think the Free State also reported somewhere on 2 million rand for commercial farmers. So I would like to see per province whether you helped commercial farmers and in which areas and what was the assistance. Then, Chairperson, back on the boreholes. I worked on this thing on the boreholes now since December last year, and I cannot get to a total of boreholes drilled per province. Even the department, this one on the boreholes that you gave us this morning, I don't understand what's going on here. Maybe you can start with explaining to me, and then the provinces can sent a specific report on boreholes. Because if you read this one, status on boreholes, there's something that says drought scheme. Now the Free State under drought scheme has zero. Then there's something that says prevention and mitigation of disaster risk, DAF, where there's 48 boreholes. And then if you go to the next page, there's something that says boreholes drilled by infrastructure support, not equipped 2015-2016. And then there's another total. So there's three amounts of boreholes for one province. Then if you go to the province, Chair, they give us another total of certain other boreholes. So I still don't know how many boreholes were drilled. What we need is boreholes drilled per district or municipality, and even GPS coordinates, because I'm looking for the boreholes and I can't find all these boreholes that were drilled. Are they producing water currently? Were they dry? Were they equipped? What cost? Even if it were drilled and they were dry, what was the cost? Because, Chair, I like doing figures and stats. And if you look at this one of the department from this morning, if I work out the average per borehole, it looks like there was a directive sent out to provinces to say you can't ask more than that. Because if you work out on Free State, there's 48 boreholes drilled. The amount... I didn't write it down here now. My KZN 7, 342,857 rand on average per borehole. The exact same amount on average for Mpumalanga boreholes. So it looks like it was a, you know, I'm a suspicious person by nature. Looks very suspicious, Chair, because if you read Limpopo, 65 boreholes, the average is 250,000. Northwest, 48 boreholes, average 250,000. Gauteng, 20 boreholes, average 250,000. I just wonder, because I know about the boreholes, like different deep tests and different pumps and different somethings, and if they work out on the average, I get suspicious, Chair. So if we can get details. Then, Gauteng might mention of the fact that you were not declared a drought province. I didn't catch exactly. If you think you will be declared, are you busy doing investigations to see? Then the other provinces you were declared, but were you promulgated? Because I've read that act 50 times, our Disaster Management Act. It doesn't help if you're not promulgated, because nationals say they won't give you money if you were not promulgated. You must be declared, it's one thing, but the promulgation is something. And then there's something about only 3 months, I think, and then after that 3 months you must promulgate again, otherwise no assistance will be coming. Chairperson, then, during oversight at some stage on my own, in Mpumalanga, there's a place called Umzinti. Sorry if I pronounce it incorrectly, it's in Kumasi. There were bales, drought bales lying there. I think they're still lying there. What happened to those bales? It was bought for a massive amount and they were never given up. Jayos Morocco district, there was a milling thing built there, November 2009. When I was still on the land reform portfolio, the committee went and visited that and it was very chuffed and nice at 4.3 million rand. It's now without a roof and being vandalized. There's 15 tractors not standing far away from there. At least I saw the report on your tractors, how many you have and how many is in need. So I need information about that. Then Mpumalanga also, you gave us a report on your flood disaster. I assume it's the 2012 flood disaster that was reported on by the department. It says 6 million rand, but it's for pumps. Now, if I remember carefully, this morning the department spoke about the flood disaster and that the fact that the money is only coming now is because there was, I don't know what, the long term of getting quotes and it was not necessary work or something like that, the nice terms that you guys use. But pumps to me look quite necessary and doesn't look like long-term infrastructure. So I would like to know from Mpumalanga, why does it take 4 years to get pumps installed? Were you waiting for money from National Treasury, or did you just not put in a request or get the... Then dam levels, Chair, for all the provinces, specifically the Free State, and then I think also Limpopo, there are some, but many provinces. I am extremely concerned about the levels of dams. In your impact report, I would like to find out what does the dam level impact the implications on your irrigation schemes. Because one of the provinces, I think it was the Free State, said, you know, for this system, you have a 95% cut on irrigation. What will be the impact in your area? And do you have any plans in place to you know, if most probably will stay like that during summertime, because by the time we have enough rain so that people can start irrigating again, our planting, optimal planting season might be. Last one, Chair. Agri-parks. I know some of the agri-parks quite good. I've travelled and seen some of them. My concern again is water. And I said it to the Minister, and unfortunately it's a political thing. While we are struggling in the drought, is it, what is the correct word, advisable to continue with putting money into an agri-park where the conditions, and let's take, is it Springfontein, that one in the Free State, ne? You drive past it and there's a big fence now around it. Is it advisable to continue to put funding there while people's animals are busy dying next to the road because there's no feed, there's no water, there's no nothing? I'm just asking, and I know it's going to be difficult from the departments, but each department, province can decide and discuss it with their political heads, to continue with the agri-park idea while we're actually in a crisis. Is it not better to use that money now to at least assist farmers to survive than just putting agri-parks? And I know agri-parks, the concept is important because it will help with marketing, which is an important thing. But it's not going to be helping to market if there's nothing to market. So and then Northwest specifically. Springbok Pond Agri Park, what is the current status of that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before I come to Honorable Rabo from this table, let me go to post whether they don't have any questions.
Thank you, Chair. I'll also first ask a question which I think is affecting all provinces on readiness. I'm not comfortable that there was no clear readiness that says to me, a province says, in the province by now, we are ready with so many hectares to be planted. We are ready because we are sure that we have planned or we have procured so many inputs. The readiness is vague. It's not comforting. I like assistance on that part, even if maybe it's done another time, but I think it is important that this readiness should not be something that comes later, which tells us in December or next year that unfortunately by October such and such things had not happened. So and so did not deliver inputs. So and so did not come with tractors. I want that kind of expression on readiness. Now, when it comes to Limpopo, please assist us in clarifying this issue because I don't think it should be left grey. These accusations or allegations that there were some corruption practices or incidences in the process of distributing the fodder for animals, so that it should be cleared once and for all. It should not be left hanging because if not so, it will keep on coming as an allegation that the department officials or so is corrupt. You talked about Jojo tanks. I was worried that there was a mention of, in page 29 of 10,000 liter of Jojo tank. I was worried that you talk about a 10,000 liter tank in a province. Maybe you wanted to say some 10,000 liter tanks, so many of them in the province. But if you are just talking about one project which is having that Jojo tank, it will be a worry. Now, the last one for Limpopo, the tractors in that process of mechanization, tractors which are purchased or supplied, how are they managed? Because if you manage tractors, there will be need of drivers, there will be need of fuel, there will be need of establishing where the tractors are, because I think this is not my experience, it should be your experience, that there has been situations where tractors have been purchased by the department and after so many months they can't be seen where they are. Or if they are there, one person is having a starter, one is having a wheel, one is having another thing, the problem with the tractors. I don't think there's a comfort situation where one can say, here are the tractors, 500 who have been purchased over the 10 years or over the past 5 years. I think we need to assist, to get some assistance or something should be done to guarantee that these tractors, when they are there for the department, is how they are managed. For Mpumalanga, the poultry infrastructure, good, quite a number of them, are they operating? It is a normal practice that sometimes you provide infrastructure and they become sometimes very, very white elephants. The Nguni project. No, I think they have it, yes. Because I wanted to see the terms and to hear about the terms and conditions of the Nguni organizing this. Yes. And also there, I wanted to understand who supplies the bulls, the rams, and those. This question, I'm just asking this question so that we should not have some complaints sometime in later. Someone says, there was corruption. So and so was advised to produce or to sell their cars or keep their cars for us, and say we're told that we're supplied with rams and with rams and does and bulls, because you also want quality, because this is livestock. Northwest. You don't have any targets nor outputs for quota one. I think this is, you're not the only one on this part that it's worrying. I can understand if there is there is no output, but if from the very onset there was no plan for quota one, I wonder how does this happen. Maybe there was a misprint. You forgot to plan, and then, or you reflect the planning after you have already not performed or not achieved that something. Should be corrected, because it gives a bad impression on that part. There's a talk of soil sampling again. I thought here, when you have what you have in page 25, I thought maybe you are talking about land which is known, which has been used in the previous years. But if there's a need that maybe every time you need to go for soil sampling, or if it's because the land keeps on changing every time, maybe I need some clarity on that part. The last one on the traditional leaders. This is a very good idea, but now how do you work it that it does not compromise the Hosh? You have instances where you give tractors to someone because you say you believe he's a traditional leader. He's going to do this in the interest of his community. One, he hires it to this community. They pay him or her. Two, he can sell it. You find that it has disappeared. Three, it is not absolutely assisting the community. But now, if maybe there is a way that is designed so as to protect him as well, as also his position as a traditional leader, because actually it's true that traditionally they are supposed to be assisting, especially because they know the people who are poor and who need assistance. Free State, biofuels versus food security. Maybe I think we also need to address that one, so that we protect ourselves, that when we go for biofuel, we are not pushed by what some colleagues would say, you are pushed by what they call multinationals. They want biofuel at the expense of your food. Because sometimes when they want their fuel, they don't worry about your food security. So we should be careful and manage those things. There is some way where you talked about sheep and goat processing facilities. I suspect maybe you are going to talk about handling facilities, but I'm not sure, because in the explanation, it doesn't tell me whether it's processing facilities nor it's handling facilities. It needs some clarity. And then the farmers that are assisted. Can we be able to say, maybe this one also can go to all provinces? Can you be able to say, at the end of the day, you can quantify what the farmer can take into his pocket of all we have done in assisting? What does the farmer get? Because that's the measurement will be in that sense, in the sense of the farmers. In how day, very little for them. They also have that problem of having no plans, no outputs for quarter one. And also with Fountain, I also wanted to understand what category of farmers they assist. Because it does appear that it may be only commercial farmers, but maybe it's a misunderstanding. They are all in a position to assist the other farmers. And the last one, is there any, in this interdependence or working together, is there no possibility of a link with the nearby provinces, who I suspect that they have more needs than Gauteng is a small province, but now with its wealth and facilities and infrastructure, is it not possible, including market, that the province can be assisting and guaranteeing that this province, Northwest and so, which are adjacent to us, they can benefit in the market and so on, so in our province? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
utilize your minute, eh? Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, definitely, and I think he took a few of mine as well, but I won't give it to him, it's okay. Chair, most of my questions is covered. I just want to go to Mpumalanga and to an area called Dr. James Moroka, because Dr. James Moroka is a very rural area and very rich farm area, and it seems like nothing is happening there. So I would like to ask the province a few questions on James Moroka. On page 11 of the presentation, there's a map that shows all the projects of the province, but it seems like there's no projects in James Moroka, and I would like to know why, number one. Number two, on page 19, also on the same, in the same presentation, there's a nice picture of Dr. James Moroka Agri Hub, what's that called? I just want to know in which village is this hub, if they can answer me that. And then the same question, more or less, that my colleague, Honorable Stein, asked about the tractors in Dr. James Moroka. It's now planting season, and if you look at the problems and the drivers, I think they only got seven drivers or three drivers. I just want to know what is their plans to plow, because there's no tractors or a very few tractors in that area. There's no drivers. So if they can just give us a plan how they're going to manage plowing the fields of that area. And then last year, the whole of Mpumalanga, there was, I can't remember which slide it was, but it was mentioned about state-owned farms in Mpumalanga, and maybe they could just send us the information of the state-owned farm and where they are and how many youth they are training, and just give us a report on the exact position where the state-owned farms are. Thank you, Chair. That's my question.
Thank you, Chair. I've been adequately covered by my colleagues.
In your presentation, all of you, the only problem that you are raising is lack of funding. And farmers, we have met with farmers, they were complaining about the services. It means that the problem is you. Because there is no any indication here from your presentation that there are challenges that you find from those your stakeholders. So it means that because your presentation are so good and clean, the problem is you, that you don't service farmers in time adequately and efficiently. So can all the province start with that? Two, Statistics of Africa will be coming tomorrow to present. But one, one of the things that they are raising is that the number of insecurity people who sleep without food is increasing in the country. The question is to all provinces, how do you respond to that as agriculture? Because your responsibility is to feed the nation, and you have lot of people who are sleeping without food, and majority of them are in the urban areas. Three, back to Limpopo, start with Limpopo. Annette, this portfolio committee visited that area. One, the issues that they've raised was the land accessibility, where they are saying there was a problem with the CPA, that they are not actually giving them opportunity to rent the land, and therefore it's becoming difficult to them. Two, the issue of which goes to all the provinces, because we are not talking about them, Mafasa raised it, and which we have confirmed in Limpopo, ourselves as Limpopo and KZN and Eastern Cape. The Eskom bill to the farmers, smallholder farmers, been a problem, and in Limpopo at least, when we were there as portfolio committee, we have called Eskom and we said they must continue with the department to assist smallholder farmers, because one of the issues that they've raised was that they are unable to grow because of the billing system, water in some instances, but the major issue was electricity. But this one of electricity, all the provinces can respond on that. Petuan. The status of Petuan is a presidential project. We know that you are busy dealing with the processing plant. Question is, because there were conflict with that community, unsettled production continuing. Three, Mafura, your report is not even signed that you have given to us, Chief Director, and you must explain why it's not signed. You are saying that farmers have benefited. We were there yesterday. There was no planting there. So which farmers have they benefited? Can we get clarity which farmers have benefited from this project? Because the intention of the project was to support the farmers will plant soya beans in surrounding areas and deliver to the to the plant, and that will extract oil from that project. Because it's still in your report, this question that farmers have benefited. Can which farmers we are talking about? Because we were there, there was nothing. It was Tanganji around that area. The area of the potato belt in Cape Coco. I see you are supporting the small farmers, but there is a community in Hachogwe which they are being assisted by strategic partners. And when we visited that area, there was a challenge of those people, the community availed the land, and the strategic partner built a pack house and built an irrigation. But the community end up being the workers there. Whether the issue of the, how the, their dividends reach them is not very clear. Can we get, if you don't have a report, the answer, you can go and later send the report. And the report must be signed so that it's the real report. And your contribution to 1 million hectares is because you had problem with the previous, you have targeted 50 something thousand. You couldn't manage that because of the drought. Now we are still at 50 something thousand. How are you? Are you sure you're going to manage that production initiative? Then the second province is Mpumalanga. My constituent is Dr. J.S. Moroka. There is a college called Marabian College there. And there is a huge land. Even as you go to Falpang, there is a huge land which I was told previously it was productive by the community. Now it's just a skanganji. And we have not had any report around the Marabian College and the new university, how they complement each other. And and appreciate the youth program that we've engaged. I hope all the province can learn from Mpumalanga, because one of the things that we've seen, DG and DDG, is that I was invited to a function where the minister was honoring those students that this government has taken them to school. But all of them, most of them, they are not employed, or they are not actually working on agriculture, because either they don't get employed by ourselves, or we are not availing resources for them to start to become farmers, because we must actually learn to produce farmers than to have people who will go and look for the job. And we welcome the Mpumalanga Initiative. We hope that program will absorb all the graduates from Mpumalanga, because then you will not have a problem of skill, because there are a lot of graduates of agriculture. I hope all the province can learn from Mpumalanga and do the same, and make sure that all the graduates for agriculture are being given chance to make inputs in these food security initiatives, because we need food in this country. The other thing is that, even though agreeing with the honorable member from the Eastern Cape, it's very late, I'll not pronounce the same name. That the way you have reported, it covers, you've mentioned the areas where the projects are. But my worry is that it's not, as Honorable Papa has said, it's not very clear in terms of the target. You see, we cannot just do projects. We must do projects to improve in the outcomes, as mentioned by the State of the Nation Address and the NDP. And the emphasis on the NDP than on the MTSS is not going to help the process, because the MTF is the target for 5 years. Taking out of the target of 20 years, but there is a target for 5 years, which we must get that commitment from provinces, how we input on those targets. And one couldn't follow with the Mpumalanga presentation. The last issue on Mpumalanga is the loss of land of agriculture to other competing needs in the country. And our worry is that we're losing a lot of land for agriculture. Mpumalanga was one of the contributors in the maize commodity groups. And now has been overtaken by mining. We're losing that status. And the worrying factor is that if you lose that, means that the alternative would be to import food, and it's going to be very dangerous to our communities because the consumer will be badly affected with that if we start importing food. I think we must prioritize issues of food security, and would want to work with Mpumalanga to retain the agricultural land even before we finalize the bill to protect the agricultural land. Of course, this will affect every province. Maybe we must just check what is it that you're doing to protect the arable lands in your provinces, including in communal land where you have those in those areas that you have previously having plant people cultivating in those areas. Now we put malls and other things competing it. So I think maybe all the province can assist us in that regard. What is it that you are doing to protect the land for agriculture. Mpumalanga, again, the forestry, I know that we don't have a grant, but the community in that area are vulnerable and they are even occupying land which is supposed to assist in production of forestry. But the question is, how do we get the community, those communities to be integrated within that project? Though it's a commercial project, but the way communities are occupying the land, it doesn't help anybody. Because both commercial and them, they are so. But what is it that working, of course, with national department, there's a national competence. How do we assist in Mpumalanga to make sure that there is that cooperation? Northwest, welcome the program of assisting traditional leaders, because it's a very good program. I hope it's not going to make traditional leaders to fight with their own communities, because community immediately, if you don't then prioritize communities, they might end up fighting the traditional leaders. So this is the person who's taking our benefit. So and might create instability, but if we're balancing, I don't think there would be a problem. But between Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Northwest, you talk about Nguni project. As addition to the question of drought, have you provided those smallholder farmers, all of them, have you given them assistance during the drought, particularly those that you have given them those cattle? If not, what is the situation of the project as you speak? Do you still project is still or the mortality rate, is it not affecting the project and that's for the objectives that we intended to achieve with that team? And what is the involvement of AMC with the with their program of Governor Patriarcho? And I know that Limpopo, the first funding they got is from the IDC, partnering with the department, with the province. The question is, when we met with the IDC at some point, it was last year, when we were dealing with the drought, the picture that they projected was that there's nothing on agro-processing. They were saying it's little. They didn't even want to present because they felt that they are wasting time. It's a little portion of less than 5%, if you remember. So how do we utilize that resource in IGC for agro-processing? And if it's accessible on the same land bank challenge. And then all the provinces, when you are say ready for planting season, what do you mean? You know, the farmers were saying already we've prepared the land, we're waiting for the support from government. The question is, national department has indicated that they've not finalized the process of on mechanization. They've not standardized the support for small producers. What is it that is going to happen? Are we not going to be in radios where people will say the tractors are not here, there is no diesel? I know that tractors can start without diesel. What is the meantime plan? What is the plan that we have for this, particularly for smallholder farmers? One province said they are collaborating with the commercial farmers. What collaboration is it in place? Can you share with us so that if other provinces, if it's good, can be utilized by other provinces? To add on Honorable Maloy's question on the drought resistance seed, the presentation shows that we're not going to have normal rain. If we can have indication in terms of tons that you have ordered from those small holder companies and ARC to support small holder farmers and households, because what is important is to see the increase in household production, because that's where the problem is, as said by Statistics South Africa. And then on this thing, program of Nguni, are we assisting farmers with the medicine and your vet? Does they visit those what is the program like? Well, how do you assist them in maintaining the status of those livestock? Gauteng, you are not getting enough money for Casper and Idlimalisi, but you are a strategic province. in terms of all the markets, all the most of the province, when they say they market their product, they are marketing in Gauteng. And of course, again, Gauteng, who are losing the land, the little land that we have on production. I saw that they were building a mall there, and like the new area in Perth. And so you're just saying you don't want to, production is not your, it's not going to be part of your plan for economic development. You just focus on agro-processing or other things. What will then happen to those farmers? Because I could see that, and housing was one of the problems that contributed on labor. Even though the contribution is not huge, but they are contributing. So if you have changed, if you are saying you you are not focusing on production, what will then happen to the sustainability of those areas that have been producing? There is a group of young people in Marafo. They have been trained on agricultural skills, IT skills, and that the person who's training these children has loaned the farm or has hired the farm from company because he couldn't get assistance from the department. Do you know the project in Marafo and why are you not assisting? Because majority of the people that are participating there are young people. The agro processing, I fail to understand in line with APEP how you are going to assist your farmers to be able to do the to implement the 10 pillars that we have identified, and we have mentioned one of the issues, radical transformation. What do you mean? At least you can even help other provinces. Radical transformation. What do you mean? Radical economic transformation. That's your pillar of the 10 pillars. Which you are intending to modernize and industrialize your province. But I don't get in line with APEP to say that these are commodities and we're intending to make sure that these commodities, because if you don't have enough land, therefore your plan for agro-processing, because you are a strategic province, must be aligned with other provinces because they are the suppliers. So the question will even go to national. How do you then support Gauteng as your strategic partner in terms of agro-processing, particularly because of the for the value chain, and so that we are able to meet the target, the job creation. If I can just get that clarity, I see that there are some of the projects, but with regards to the linkage with other provinces, and most of them, they might not have the capacity of processing. So because I don't believe that those are the council work tomorrow. But for the coming 5 years, Houghton will still be the destination for market and processing. Yeah, I've used my minutes. So let's do it alphabetical provinces. That will how they or Free State. No, Free State has not asked questions. Eh? Yeah? No. No.
We are not living here.
Yes, or Free State. No, I can't give you. There's been a visit by portfolio committee on the farm on ostrich, and their biggest challenge was the non-availability of an abattoir, and they were raising the cost. They've got a lot of, it's costing them a lot of money to transport this ostrich to the nearest abattoir, particularly for the transportation. So I want to check whether have we sorted that matter, or is the situation is still the same. If the situation is still the same, why? And then the last question is on all of you. The president has announced the set aside for the small business communities that were 30% of the budget that was appropriated by government must be. We must support that community. The question is, we are dealing with farmers, smallholder farmers. How many of you in the hospital, what else is, you food, working, education, nutrition, how many, are we using the smallholder farmers for the market, or if you are saying, because all of you have not spoken about this thing of set aside as that 30% procurement as outlined by the 10-point plan, because you're just talking about the 10-point plan in vain. You don't actually add these other things that the president has raised. So the question is, have we started? If we have not started, I know that there is not yet a framework, but what is it that the province are doing? In Limpopo, I heard the premier talking about the 10%. I don't know where did he get the 10%, because the president talks about the 8%. So are we readying our smallholder farmers to participate in that space? And what is it that we're doing to get them to participate in that area? And last one is, where is Kobogo? we can note the question on his behalf. The question would be, because in this conditional grant, you have requested Treasury to put money for monitoring. What have you done so far? What system have you put in place in monitoring the conditional grant? And how often have you agreed with the province? Because I know that the Act says provinces they can report in 2 months. But if you have your monitoring in the provinces, or I'm not sure how we are going to do it. Are we going to be able to monitor the conditional grant differently, and what will then be the benefit of that money that was put aside to capacitate you to monitor that conditional grant? Yeah, you can now start. Prestata, just one, have one, at least you are. Can we then get the Prestata to respond to all the questions of members? Then followed, and then I'm going to stop you at 6 o'clock, then break for dinner and come back for and continue with the responding, and then if there are follow-up questions, members still going to ask questions. Let's start.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chair, we know the concern about the availability of political principals, and we'll take the message back. Yes, we are participating with and we have partnership with ARC regarding the drought-tolerant crop, and we have done roadshows where we have distributed the seeds, but it was for free because it was a sponsorship that ARC provided. So we went to two of our districts and were able to give them the seed. I will check as to whether going forward if we purchase specifically from this particular source seeds in order to continue and provide such a report. We will provide a detailed report around the issues of boreholes, the number of boreholes, those that have been drilled, those that have water, those that don't have water, and we'll provide that report signed to the National Department for distribution to the committee. How do we sustain our farmers, Chair? What we seek to do, first and foremost, is ensure that we provide them with adequate training not only at the level of production, but also training at the level of financial management, training also at the level of being able to manage their business, but most importantly is creating market access, and the market access will be both public and private. And that will then be answering the question of the 30% that the Chair has talked about when you talked about market access that is public. As a province, there is a decision that was taken that is being implemented by all departments to ensure that, first and foremost, we register farmers as suppliers and their co-ops, and secondly, that we buy from them, whether it be for schools or health department, and by so doing then create the public market opened to them. Aquaculture, yes, we do have an aquaculture project from the hatchery, which is our catfish hatchery, to five projects that we are having of different beneficiaries, and to the different five sites that are identified by the master plan in terms of the dams that are available in the Free State. And those are the localities where we will intend to implement different species of in different sites. Yes, Chair, we will also provide that report that deals with the impact of drought on production, drought on the finances of farmers, drought on food security, and drought as to how it has impacted on farm workers in terms of access to food and job losses.
I've dealt with the issue of the boreholes and the drilling. The impact of the dams and the levels, as I've indicated in my presentation, that we've begun the process of internalizing the information as it is coming forward and begin to ask ourselves the question as to how is it going to have an impact on what we have planned or what we intend to do going forward. So we should be in the position to also provide a report on that. We note the concern around agri-parks and the challenges of water, and that as and when we implement agri-parks, we should take into account the current challenges that we have so as to ensure that our agri-parks will then be operational. Yes, Chair, although we did not put it on our report, but we take note of the concerns raised, and that as and when we support traditional leaders, we need to be careful as to whether in supporting traditional leaders, are we not compromising their status, and are we not creating conflicts in relationship, and we'll then exchange information with different provinces to learn from them. The biofuel and vis-a-vis food security, we agree that as and when we look into biofuel option must be in line with the South African policy around protection of food security and looking into alternative sources for biofuel. So we take note of the issue raised. There's a general issue that has been raised, and I hope we should be able to get space as the national and the department, and that is the support that you are giving. What is the financial benefit that goes to the farmers that you are supporting? And hopefully through the process of CASP and ILEMA, we should be able to do that type of an analysis and produce that report. We will contribute the provincial information to national and that produce that report. How do we protect arable land? Currently, we protect the arable land in terms of the planning and the implementation of the Act, that there is no land that can be zoned or rezoned without receiving the comments from the agricultural sector. And we are very firm in ensuring that all the land and all the application, if they have a bearing on agricultural land, we then make sure that we protect that. And also we are utilizing the current SPLUMA to make sure that beforehand we looked into projects that are proposed so that they should not have a negative bearing on our agricultural land whilst we are waiting for the bill to be finalized. Chair, ask the question about the project in Gariep. Yes, Chair, we can confirm we did take note of that, and it is part of our plan to do the abattoir and the hatchery as complementing the work that this project is doing. And I've also indicated, Chair, in your absence, that with regard to the 30%, is forming part of accessing market both in the public and in the private, that from a public sector point of view, it's an executive decision that all the departments must ready themselves and realign their procurement to make sure that we buy from our local farmers. Thank you, Chair.
I know there was a... If you have responded, you can jump in. The preparation for planting season, mechanization, when you say you are ready, what do you mean? What has been done? What do you have to do?
Yes, it's one of the reports, Chair, that we need to put detail. But in the province, we've got five mechanization co-ops that we had created with all the mechanization that we received. And as we speak now, the co-ops are ready. They have done the preparations of the land. We've provided them with the necessary resources. Outside that, all the farmers that we had identified to provide them with the necessary input, we have actually provided them with such inputs so that they can be able to start. However, within that understanding, Chair, as I indicated in our presentation, that from Monday we then started to analyze this impact and the report of ARC. So there might be certain of the farmers in different districts that we might ask that they must not continue with the planting if we realize that it is not going to be worthwhile to continue planting. So when we submit our second quarter report under that hectareage planted, we'll then be able to indicate where we have made intervention and said people must not continue to plant.
Okay. Next problem is Gauteng.
Thank you, Chair.
It's 3 minutes past six, let's adjourn for.
It's not a question, it's just a comment on what was just said. That's my point on that we will ask people not to plant. I want to know what the impact would be then on those families, and I'm sure they will be very a lot of areas. That's what we need. We need to get the human thing of what the impact of the drought does.
Okay.
I'm just listening to that last comment.
All right. Let's break for dinner. If we can, let's just come back. There is food outside. You can just pick up and come and use the same room to eat.
To speak to which was directed to all provinces is with regards to expenditure. In Gauteng, Chair, the province has taken a decision that in the interest of clean governance and to deal with the whole range of issues around corruption with tenders and stuff, we were going to be the first province to implement an open tender system. So that process has sort of delayed us in a way, because projects that we had planned to implement using the procurement methods that we had last year, we had to restart and take them through that kind of process. When it comes to infrastructure projects, the new requirement by National Treasury that you should have a group of experts in different areas of with different qualifications, your engineers, quantity surveyors, stuff like that. That's where some of the delays came from when it comes to expanding. But we will submit a detailed report that speaks to the state of readiness and what kind of recovery plans we are going to put in place to make sure that we implement and spend our budget. The sustainability of our projects, the question that was asked, how do we sustain? Like Free State, Chair, we invest a lot of money in training our farmers. We have enough agricultural advisors that also helps, but more importantly, our training is, we have even changed our training strategy so that it speaks to the APAP approach that speaks to commodities. But to be honest, Chair, there are still many problems with regards to the sustainability of our projects. And we are currently looking at how the infrastructure programs particularly can integrate operation and maintenance in their budgets. So more work needs to be done in that regard. The plans for planting season we promise to provide a report on that, including the drought impact, identification of farmers, the criteria that we use to identify farmers. We will provide a report. We learned some interesting lessons from KZN as to how we can do that. So when it comes to the, there was a question around a declaration of Gauteng during the drought period. There were some discussions and concerns in the province that given the fact that Gauteng is the economic hub of the country, if you declare disaster in Gauteng, what kind of message would you be sending to investors? But at a later stage, leadership thought maybe we should go ahead and declare in any event, but it was a little bit late. So we will, going forward, we will see how we deal with it, because the impact of drought is evident and it has long-lasting impact. The linkage to provinces, how we work with other provinces, I will link this question, Chair, to the question that you asked about the fact that Gauteng has identified agro-processing as its niche. We have done so, Chair, because we do realize that we have a competitive advantage when it comes to agro-processing. Five of the largest agro-processing plants in the country are in Gauteng. So that gives us an advantage. But if you look as well at the contribution of the manufacturing, or rather agriculture, to the sector, the manufacturing sector in Gauteng, it's high. So there's clearly potential for Gauteng to be the hub. But that can never be done at the expense of food security, which is your concern, Chair. We're dealing with in migration from Limpopo, Eastern Cape, all the provinces that are sitting here flock to Gauteng, and it has a huge impact not only on available land but on issues related to food. So we still focus on our programs that deal with food security, food gardens, your homestead gardens. But more importantly, we have just to respond to that, particularly given the urban nature of Gauteng, we have just developed a strategy on urban agriculture. So given that we don't have land, we want to see how we can utilize open spaces in the urban areas for agriculture. That means using rooftops of buildings, or using buildings that are not utilized. There are many of those in Gauteng. So we're finding creative ways of using each small space that we can come across. The innovations in technology as well is one of the interventions. For instance, the technology that was displayed during the presentation that shows how you can maximize small space to get as much production as possible is one of those examples. We also work with the Department of Social Development. They are dealing with poverty-related issues. They come up with short-term interventions when it comes to food security. But we're working and we're aligning our plans to make sure that the interventions are much more sustainable. Now look, given the challenges of land in Gauteng and the fact that we want to position ourselves in the agro-processing strategy, it's inevitable, Chair, that we have to work with other provinces because we don't have raw material. We are currently working with Mpumalanga, we're working with Eastern Cape, we'll be going there soon. We're also working with KZN, and we want to foster partnerships between our farmers in these provinces, so that we are able to source raw materials. But we also, it's a win-win kind of situation. However, Chair, the challenge sometimes that we experience or can anticipate is the fact that all provinces would like to have agro-processing for obvious reasons. The advantages, jobs, beneficiation, there are many advantages. But this is now where National can help us, because it's about working towards one objective, growing the agricultural sector in the country. If you look at how the contribution of Gauteng to the economy, if Gauteng's agriculture grows, we're able to export, we are able to penetrate African markets, all the provinces will benefit, Chair, because it means there's going to be demand for products, etc. I will just leave there in the interest of time. The Mpumalanga initiative, yes, when we first heard about it, we and Chair, you asked the question, is there something you can learn from it? We're sending 4 people next week to Mpumalanga to see how we can learn from their youth incubation program. It's actually a very good program. We do not have enough money, but if we work effectively with the private sector, with the commodity groups, the partnerships like SAB, Vodacom, etc., we are sure we will be able to leverage some funding, but not only funding, expertise as well. Chair, we will have to come back to the committee on the training of young people you talked about in mirror form and give you a report on that. Transformation, modernization, and reindustrialization. These are the priorities of the current administration, Chair. We, all departments, were required to look at their programs to see how they can be implemented in a big way that will have an impact. So, speaking particularly about agriculture, when we talk about radical transformation, we talk about making sure that we have more black farmers playing an important role in the agricultural space, operating at a commercial level. That's the first part of transformation. But again, when you look at who the big boys and girls in the agricultural sectors are and how they've organized themselves along the value chain, the monopolies that have been created, they are amazing. So if we want to look at transforming and getting sure that black people play a role here, we have to dismantle those monopolies, and we can only dismantle them by empowering our own black farmers. That's the transformation part. Modernization would speak to the technology that we use for agriculture. The example is one that was shown here, for instance, IT, blah, blah, blah. We're learning from other countries. Even countries like Kenya, Chair, are advanced when it comes to how they use technology to support their farmers. And then the reindustrialization. I talked about the contribution of agriculture in manufacturing, and manufacturing sector has been identified as one of the sectors that's going to be reindustrialized. As you would be aware, Chair, that over the last 10 years or so, there has been a decline in this sector. So that would be the context. So we're looking specifically at how agriculture, the agricultural sector, can speak to those three pillars that I talked to. Chair, my colleague can add to more detailed questions that I haven't talked to, but we will be providing the reports, detailed reports, as I recommended earlier on. Thank you.
Thank you, HOD, Chairperson. The HOD has covered a number of all the issues, so I'll just highlight 2 issues. To be specific on the drought, it was 1,550 farmers that were assisted. And then the next issue that I'll also touch on is on the protection of high potential agricultural land. That the province seems to experience high rate of loss of high potential agricultural land, but the trend has gone down since the province developed the Gauteng Agriculture Potential Atlas, which has been shared with developers and municipalities. So in a way, it has managed to influence the spatial planning prior to the farmers, to the developers trampling on high potential agricultural land. So that has helped a lot to reduce the pace. So every time, every 3 years, we develop, we update GAPA, as we call it, Gauteng Agricultural Potential Atlas, and it gives us the rate of loss in that particular period. And we have noticed that the trend has gone down. And then the last aspect, I think, yes, the HOD did refer to the marathon. We will follow up on it. And thanks. I think I'll stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. First, I'll start by the question that I like most. That our MEC is here, so it was very convincing. So I don't have to explain. Thank you. It was just on a lighter note. Honorable Chair, in terms of spending, I think in terms of Limpopo, in the first quarter, we were almost there, although we did not do the straight line of 25%, but I think we were at 21%, if I'm not mistaken. And in terms of drought tolerance, since we bought procured from GEMAT, and we used them the previous year. This year we haven't yet bought from GEMAT, but normally Capricorn District, which is close to there, we always encourage them to buy there. But from this input today, I think I will have to make sure that we facilitate and make sure that we use the WEMA seed, drought seed resistance as has been presented here. In terms of the 10,000 liters, there are 31 projects. It's just that I just said two by 10,000, but all the 31 projects, we put two JoJo tanks of 10,000 liters per project. And the farmer training, I'll clarify it. We did not have any expenditure in the first quarter. The 1.1, it was just a transfer that came from DAF to us. The expenditure was the invoice came in July, and it was about 500,000. So, but it could not be recorded for the first quarter. The hatchery at TEF at tender stage is just saying, the tender just closed last month on the 17th, so they are in the process of evaluating, and we believe the appointment will be made soon, so that they can do the hatchery at the TEF loop. The Tombisleka, I think it might be myself because I used my seeing of the project as it's at roof level when I talked about 90. But in terms of the June, as first quarter, it was 50% as the first quarter. So, but for now, as I looked at it, it's already roofing. So I just said now it must be on at 90. But in terms of reporting, is at 50%. In terms of, I'll also respond to the chair, the question earlier that we needed clarity in terms of the fodder distribution. I've got the document, and you'll pardon me because I just request the email. There's a guidelines in terms of how the farmers apply for fodder. And that will be submitted. I've already given to Ntate Manya in terms of how we we decide how many we give for how many livestock. But actually, it's a clear guidelines which you will see, Honorable Chair. In terms of getting suppliers to supply fodder, we just follow supply chain processes. That's what we do. And there was also those who were on the contract of supplying. So we just go to the database and follow supply chain processes. But of course, you'll always fall in the trap of government, and then people will just be expensive like that. That one we can acknowledge, but we follow all the processes that need to be followed. The impact of the dam levels is true. They affect us because it's very difficult for us to can actually encourage farmers who are on irrigation land to actually use the water, because now they are competing with the mines as well, especially in Skukune. And as such, they are compromised in terms of how the Water Act is being managed. So it's very, very difficult for irrigation scheme, especially in Wanedi. We had to also negotiate with Water Affairs in terms of trying to give us another allocation, because the allocation that they were giving us was now even affected by the levels of the dams. So they are really impacting on the farmers' pocket as well, in terms of how much they can produce, because they are not going to irrigate as they're supposed to. Yes, in terms of readiness of Fetatala, I think I agree from ourselves. We just took it at a high level. We did not go into details of whether the fuel has been purchased and whether the seeds and how many are they. I tried to put the tonnage there, but I think we can do much, much better in terms of giving you a detailed report of when are we going to plant, when are we anticipated, and how many tractors are in Skupune, how many are allocated to Wembe, and so on and so on, so that we have a clear picture of how the plan is going to go. So I think we just took it at a very, very, very high level. But we have that plan, which we can also submit in details to the chair. The tractors that we have, the 72 tractors, they are still within government. We did not give them to cooperatives or whatever. We are managing them like any asset of the department. So we are fully accountable for those tractors. That's why I talked about 69 being ready for plowing, but the three are with Ladini. For repairs, because we have a contract with them in terms of repairing. So that is part of the planning of Fetatala. So we use the tractors that we have to plant for farmers, and then we complement them by procuring private tractors, because they cannot cope as the 72 tractors. But they are fully managed by us under asset management, and they are part of the asset register of the department. After Fetatala interventions, there are normally nothing in terms of that goes into the pocket of the farmers, because Fetatala basically is just about making sure that people get something on the table. But if they manage to have bigger quantities in terms of harvest, then they can actually sell the surpluses. But basically it's to make sure that they have something on the table in terms of food. That's where we are. But in terms of the irrigation schemes, because then they will do a plant very high value crops, and they will actually generate a lot of income, and they become commercial. Yes, Chair, we did not ask for budget, like lack of budget. We thought those statements that nowadays we must just to deal with the budget that we have, because sometimes we come and complain about the budget, and they say, how did you spend the first quarter? You start to scratch your head. So we thought it's proper to say what we got is per plan that we put, and if the national gave us that, us to complement that with equitable share that we have, try to partner with other partners, private sectors and so on, to try and complement what we have, and utilize it so that we are not able to bring money back to treasury. As long as we don't actually spend the money that we are supposed to spend, it's very, very difficult, even treasury. Now we were just given 10 million from treasury because of drought when I was at EXCO last. They said, no, you have 10 million, but this 10 million, you are not getting it now. Spend what you have to the value of 10 million. During adjustment, we'll give it to you. So it's up to us to move with speed to spend it either by fodder, because they were talking about the animals. So we felt they had a very, very good guess of us, but we need to spend. In terms of land accessibility at Nwanedi, Chair, it's still not very, very, very 100% clear, but they are working together now. They are trying to produce, but there are still areas where we need to work with rural development to try and iron out everything, because it's our now is our agri hub, which we don't want this accessibility problems to continue, but we are managing them. And in terms of AFASA's, I think we need to get details of the allegations, so that we not come up with allegations again. We must go deep into issues that they raise, so that we address properly those areas that they've identified. And if there are people who are actually doing what is alleged to be, I think the law must take its course and to start with the department to make sure that they put disciplinary measures to those people who sell fodder, but for their own pocket. I think that's not acceptable, I'm sorry. Eskom bill is too high. We also want to thank the portfolio committee for having invited Ntata Rampedi. From there we've moved, we had workshops with the farmers, we had, they came and made promotional statements to the farmers in terms of when can they irrigate. They showed them something like a watch which indicates the dangerous time. When it's at red, you must never even try to irrigate. When it's at green, you can irrigate. It's like Mahala, all those kinds of things. So it was very, very interesting, and the farmers liked it. We started by having a workshop with the extension officers so that they instill the knowledge to the extension officers, so that extension officers can actually impart that knowledge to as much wider farmers as possible. So I think that has been our approach. And I think we are working very well. They even requested us to give them list of projects that are affected. So we have submitted to Ntata Rampedi those lists, and they are going to try and settle their bills, whether they write off, I don't know. They said they will make sure that they settle them and they start afresh in terms of the way they have advised them to utilize energy. MMI report. We are sorry if it's not signed, Honorable. I was trying to get whatever is available to be emailed to me, and they tried to search from the office, the signed one, but I said, just send whatever is available. But I know that we did submit a signed report, but I'll check it so that you get the signed report, Honorable Chair. There are 250 farmers who benefited from Mafura Mafura incubator. The farmers are those farmers whom we supported with inputs to supply Mafura Mafura when they were doing what they call demonstration plots. So those 250 farmers, they were planting sunflower around Cyprus and Elias Mutualedi area. So they benefited, they went through the incubation process. Unfortunately, we are just stuck on the bigger plant which must be operationalized in terms of the farmers supplying it, but we need to finalize the issue of procuring the refinery, which is not yet there. And even if the farmers can bring soya, raw soya, there won't be any processing because the refinery is not yet there. But this 250 are part of the farmers that have benefited through ever since it started. It's not to say it's something that is happening just now. The Petwani farmers, they still believe the president said the processing facility must be there, but I think we spoke to them. We tried to indicate to them that it should be at a central place like this Liga so that other farmers can access it. As to how it will be managed, it will be much, much better. So just imagine if the processing facility was at Petwani and they have these challenges of management and leadership, and how would other farmers go there? So I think it's just a blessing in disguise. We struggled to talk to them about moving, putting it at Dombisiga. He said, no, the project of the president, he said so and so, but we talked to them and we still continue. But they wrote a letter that indicates their unhappiness about us taking that decision of taking the processing facility to Dombisiga. But as we speak, we engaged with the Hoshi councillors. The project is, that's why I'm saying it's at about 90%. They are supporting, they're just indicating their concerns as we move forward. We will definitely agree with them to say if the facility is done, we can continue building another four dams to them to add so that they are able to supply the facility as well. But for now, in terms of production, they are producing, they are selling on their own. There's no official market that has been arranged because they are still having their own. They must sort out their house first because they don't agree themselves first. The new committee is always blaming another committee. And we always say to them, you must move on. Those things happened, but now you are the committee. Take accountability. But now they always refer to those ones, come and investigate them, all those kind of things. But they are selling now, and we are supporting them. But we think over time they will understand, like a child whom you forced to go to school and doesn't understand the reason. But at the later stage, they realize that, no, mommy and daddy, they were actually caring about me. I'm not sure about the Rachokwe project, Honorable Chair. I have to investigate. I don't want to speculate about the strategic partner and the community. I must know which project exactly. So I'll investigate this one, and it will be part of the report that I must submit, Honorable Chair. We are not sure about the 200,000 hectares. Our target is 200,000 hectares up to 2019 in terms of fertilizer. We are at 51, and yes, we agree. This year, target is 10,000. We went down. Our target was like 50, 40 something, but due to this predictions, we went down to 10,000. And if we are not succeeding, I often say, but maybe we must put quality into the 10,000 that we are going to, so that we make everything correct, and then the production will be much better of quality than to run for 50,000 hectares, trying to chase the hectares only. But when you look at what comes out, it's just one maize stalk there, another there, another there. So maybe the strategy will be on the 10,000 that we put. Let's put all the effort to make sure that we do the right things, and then maybe we'll get the yield that is much better than even 50,000, where sometimes we just count hectares and we are happy with hectares, not happy with what comes out. So this one we haven't yet had a plan to say how if we don't reach this, what we just said, no, let's go with what we can. Rain is not in our hands, but what is available, let's utilize it effectively and efficiently. Maybe that will help. We have presented to all the district municipalities in Ketrugon and in Skukune, in every district in the province, about our Limpopo agricultural strategy, which talks about all the potential agricultural land, which according to us, the municipalities must protect. Unfortunately, it's not within our jurisdiction to stop people, but we shall have indicated to all the municipalities. And fortunately, it's me who were making those presentations to them. I know I presented to them and indicated all the areas that are of high value for agriculture. And if we go there now, we get more of Africa on top of that soil. It will be the leadership of the municipality who does not see the vision of what they are going to eat in that month. And if they put their mind, they will dig gold, will just say, eat that gold, you will see. And they will never ever repeat it. The Nguni, fortunately, Nguni is a very strong animal. Sometimes we just ignore it, it just lives. It's a very, very strong animal, and it's adaptable to very, very dry and hot conditions, and it survives for very, very harsh conditions. It's just part of the programs. We also give them fodder, like any other farmers. We don't have any special arrangements for them. Actually, if you have to prioritize, you can't even prioritize them. You rather prioritize the Brahmans and others, because those ones are weak. In terms of strength, Nguni can survive very, very harsh conditions. But because it's our program, sometimes we must also give a hand. But we were not focusing on them, because it's just like a poor goat and a baby a breed, which are very, very strong. So how is ready for Fidata? I talked about that. It's not something specific. So we must give you a real thing that can talk to that. And how many times have you procured? I think it's also taking to the same things that I tried to generalize, but it's not very, very specific. And then the veterinary services, Honorable Chair, they attend every area where there's an animal, livestock, and guni. If it's within a particular ward, Matipa Noah, that area will definitely attend to those animals. And I haven't been getting reports of whether there are animals which have never been attended in terms of veterinary services in the province. I think we are scattered in such a way, or distributed in such a way, that every corner of the province is having an animal health technician and a state veterinarian in every municipality. So we are sure that we cover the province quite immensely and very good. Honorable Chair, I think I've covered most of the things that affected Limpopo and other provinces as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Zatinowata. It's very clear that mining won't succeed in Limpopo. Okay, the Limpopo M. Kumalanga.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question that was related to the issue of spending in the provinces. I just need to indicate that in the presentation I did put up the initial trench that we were given as a province for quota one, which was
the first question was of your MECs. You don't like me. Why are you not studying?
My apology, Chair. I have noted the question, and I would obviously communicate to the Honorable MEC. In fact, I have already. Going back to the issue of the expenditure for the province, I need to indicate, Honorable Chair, that the tranche that we received as a province for quarter one was 51.1 million, and we have been able to spend about 42.2 as a province. And I would say that for quarter one, really it was not that bad in terms of our expenditure, although we did not finish all the funds that were transferred to the province. There's also the issue of the utilization of the drought-resistant crops. For the first time as a province, we are purchasing the drought-resistant crops. We are working with the ARC, the Mpumalanga branch. They're actually assisting us a lot. We work with them on a number of things. As I've indicated, Honorable Chair, before, that we were not very strong on research, and therefore we were utilizing them to assist us. Currently, now that we have resuscitated our own research center, we are now in a position to actually guide our farmers, but we have not necessarily left out the ARC still advising us on a number of issues to assist us and to assist our farmers. On the issue of the boreholes, we are saying that we would request to actually provide further information, although we did list the number, but I think the detailed report, we would obviously have to submit it to the committee if we can be allowed to do so, so that justice can be done. The issue of the sustainability of projects, we are saying yes, this is one of the areas that we have identified. We have conducted a review as a department on the project of Masbuyele Masimini, which is part of the food security. In the review, one of the issues that I'm just going to highlight and talk to was the issue of the sustainability of the projects. What we have also realized is that when there is no offtake agreement, usually the project will start to be a very good project, but if the farmers don't know exactly where to sell their produce, and then it collapses. So what we are doing as a department, we are now intervening to ensure that we start and move ahead before we even finalize the project, to try and make sure that we do get offtake agreements for those particular projects. I think one of the areas that we're talking to Gauteng, when they presented one of the MOU that an SLA that we're signing with Gauteng, is to assist our farmers, because we are mostly primary agriculture, to assist our farmers to be able to sell their produce to Gauteng. But at the same time, we are equally aware that it's important that we also have our own agro-processing plants. We have started with two new projects so that it does create employment within the project. So we're still at an initial stage around those areas, but of course we are trying to ensure that these projects do not collapse. On the issue of the plans for the planting season, we have provided the state of readiness and the mechanization, but I do understand that the committee wants details and further explanation. I think we can also be able to, over and above, supplement what we have provided today and submit it to the committee. The issue of the discrepancies, I was hoping my colleague is going to talk about it. On the training of farmers, but I don't want to preempt. I'm not so sure why the discrepancies, but what I would just say is that it depends sometimes on the charges that the service providers usually utilize. In our case, we were able to train more farmers with the same amount of money, but I wouldn't want to say on the commodities were the same, because they might not have been the same, and in terms of how much each service provider charges, it will vary per province. And remember, there are also issues of traveling and all those things. Aquaculture, yes, we are saying as a province, in fact, Mpumalanga has not been very strong on aquaculture. We have not actually been focusing on aquaculture as an inland province. For the first time, we've put our focus on aquaculture. That is why we have put money aside through our equitable share to be able to start the project of aquaculture. So we are still very new in this field, and obviously our colleagues from the other provinces will be able to assist us to roll out this particular project. There's an issue of the drought details. We are also going to provide information on the drought. We do have a report. We've done the assessment. We do have the report. I think we'll just have to include the other areas that have been highlighted by the honorable members in terms of how it has affected on the human factor. We'll submit that report, including the report for the boreholes. The issue of Umzinti Training Center. Yes, we are saying we are aware of the bales that were at Umzinti Training Center. I think it's important to explain that those bales were actually not bought by the Department of Agriculture. They were coming from the Department of Rural Development. It was part and parcel of assisting on the drought. When we were alerted on those bales, we then communicated with our sister department and then they removed them. The center where they were dropped was actually a center that belongs to our department, but they were not bought by the department. The bales that we bought for assisting our farmers for the drought, we did not keep them. Immediately we would distribute them directly to the farmers. So we never had any bales that we kept except for these that belong to rural development. There's the issue of the tractors, the 15 tractors that were standing there. These tractors are actually based at Falbank, which is next to Nokaneng. We are aware of those tractors. What is currently happening is that we have changed the system of the tractors in the province. Previously, we used to give them to the cooperatives, but there were a lot of challenges that we discovered. After doing the assessment, immediately when I came in last year in the department, we did the assessment. Then we collected all those tractors that were not working. That is why I'm able today to provide the mechanization report, which tells you exactly how many tractors are not working, what status they are in. It's a summarized version, but we have all that information. So we collect them into one center for them to be able to undergo the process of being repaired. They are first assessed whether they could still be repaired, or some of them would need to be discarded through the normal system, through our sister department, Public Works, which is assisting us. So those tractors that are standing there are tractors that we had collected that needed to be repaired. The issue of the mill, I need to indicate, Honorable Chair, that the mill is part and parcel of the 2016-17 program where we would be renovating it so that it can be utilized. We are aware that it was vandalized. I think it was built somewhere around, I'm not so sure of the year when it was built, but because there was lack of electricity and things like that, so it was not utilized and it ended up being vandalized. We are now resuscitating it as part and parcel of ensuring that as a province we do the full value chain of agro-processing, which is one area that we have just now started to encourage amongst our farmers. There was also a question related to why it's taking us 4 years for the pumps to be repaired. I think I also need to explain that when we got the allocation, it was spread over the MTEF for us to be able to address the flood disaster. So we started, it's not that we are only doing it this year. There are some pumps and dams that were repaired in the last financial year. We are continuing to finalize that. So what you see in the report is what we are doing in this financial year as part of closing up those repairs that were affected through the flood disasters. The issue of the level of the dams, we would request to provide the information on the impact and what the plans are. The poultry infrastructure. The province is very strong on poultry, and what has now happened is that the question was basically to say, are they all operating? I would say that the ones that belong to the department, yes, they are operating. What we have done, we had challenges in terms of offtake agreements, and we have now sat down with the industry players like your AFGRI or your Rainbow and the rest, so that as a department we assist our farmers to facilitate an agreement so that they are able to buy the chicks that are being produced in these broiler houses. But it's also very important for me to indicate that through the restitution program, some of the farms that were restituted to the communities, rural development then provided infrastructure to them. Some of this infrastructure was also broiler houses. Some of them are actually not being utilized. However, what we have done through the collaboration of National, where both the two departments are now working together, we have then held a meeting with the Department of Rural Development at a provincial level, where we have looked at the projects that they where they've put in infrastructure and currently it's not being utilized, so that we can then come in and intervene and try and resuscitate them. And moving forward, we have also agreed that we're going to plan together so that when we put more resources into one area, at least there would be more benefits. So there's that interaction that we are having, and even at a national level, we've also held meetings through our own department, DAF, bringing us together as provinces so that we can work together with rural development. On the Masibuyele Sibayeni program, which is the Nguni Kegel, we are using the normal tender processes to identify Nguni breeders that will be able to provide the Nguni Kegel to our farmers. We have a process where we evaluate the farmers, we do the site visits, we check them so that before there is an allocation of the animals, we know that it's people that are going to be able to look after them. But over and above, we also provide services through the department where we link them to our vet doctors so that continuously they would be able to monitor them and assist them. And during the drought, we immediately also did the assessment because we could not afford to lose some of those cattle. But most of the people that we allocated to them were part and parcel of those that received the relief for drought. And some of them could also manage to actually look after those Nguni cattle that were allocated to them. The issue of Dr. J.S. Moroka, I think the GIS section, which is part of our research center at Notre Dame, did not plot some of the projects that are there. Yes, we do have projects in Dr. J.S. Moroka. Just to summarize a few, we do have a project, an irrigation project around the land spread. We also have the broiler houses in Marapiane and the sheep and goat feedlot and also the maize mill. These are just some of the projects that I would want to mention, but we are obviously going to update that map to ensure that our GIS section assists us in terms of capturing those projects. The issue of the tractor drivers, we have indicated in our mechanization plan that we do have about 124 tractor drivers. But Honorable Chair, I need to indicate that we have also added more drivers to this project because we realized that we needed more drivers. As we repair the tractors, obviously we have to balance the number of drivers vis-a-vis the tractors that the department has, and we have added the number of drivers to assist us in the planting season. The issue of the state-owned farms, we do have the project information, which I will submit to the honorable members. But just quickly in summary, I need to indicate that we have identified 15 farms as the first phase of the project because we couldn't do a big number because we needed to see how far can we go. We have identified 15 farms. They are spread across the all districts. They are doing different commodities. It's not the same thing. And we have been able to accommodate about 250 youth in all these farms. I will be able to submit a full report on this youth incubator program and how we have conceptualized it and how it's being rolled out as a province. Responding to food security, as a rural province, what we have done as part of responding to food security, we have identified a communal land. We are also working very closely with Amakhosi. We are also assisting them with production inputs, including tractors, and also the program of Masbuyele Sibayeni as encouraging the communities. Now, in the communal lands, we have demarcated some of them for felt pastures and some of them for our food gardens as part of ensuring that there is food security, because it's easier if you work within the land of Amakhosi. But we also have just ordinary citizens where we are encouraging them to also plant and to have their food gardens. We have small packages that we distribute to them and also train them. And in each area, we then allocate a group of our agricultural specialists that are assisting them. But over and above, we also have the mentorship program that is assisting us in terms of responding to the issue of food security. Marapiane College, an update. We are indicating that when the province was pronounced that it would have a university, the two colleges that belong to the province, which is the Lowveld Agricultural College and the Marapiane College, were then identified as going to be subsidiaries of the university. However, when the gazetting was done, Marapiane College was not part of the university. It was only the Lowveld College. But the process towards the establishing of the university, all the staff members of Marapiane College were then moved to the University of Mpumalanga. That process has just been completed, and all the programs that used to be taught in the Lowveld College and also at Marapiane College are now being offered by the university. What we have now done as a province, we have now proposed to Cabinet to continue and have Marapiane College being resuscitated now as part of a training college that will be utilized for the short course programs for the province, because we have realized that within the university, as you would know, Honorable Chair, that the entry level would be a matric with an exemption. I don't know what it's called now. I'm of the old school, so I call it the exemption. So now, which therefore means... Oh, it's called what? Bachelor. So what we have now realized is that our farmers, some of them do not necessarily need a fully fledged qualification, but they would need an intervention in the form of a short skills program. We have now spoken to National, Tate Manya is here. He has gone to Marapiane to do an assessment. The infrastructure is there. So we are now going to resuscitate it so that we can then offer short courses for our farmers in the different commodities. So that's the process that we have started with the assistance of National to ensure that Marapiane College still continues to assist our farmers in the province. At the same time, we do have the university that is assisting us with the other skills. The issue of forestry, I do take note, Honorable Chair. I think it's a very critical area that you have mentioned. As a department, we'll have to make sure that we do a follow-up, except for one project that I'm aware of, but it's being done by the Department of Economic Development, where they've integrated the community to one of the Mondi forests. We then just came in to assist them with the plowing and planting, but I think we need to strengthen that area so that the communities can be assisted. Okay, I think Honorable Chair, I've tried to cover most of the questions, and those that need detailed information, I would obviously be submitting to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mpumalanga, Northwest.
Thank you, and good evening, Honorable Chair and members. Just in a way to start the response to questions, I will start with the importance of these briefing sessions and the compulsory attendance by the MEC that such will be communicated to my MEC, and hoping to have her attend the next briefing session with the portfolio committee. Chair, there has been a lot of questions that have been raised in general and some specific to this province. So my approach will be that I will emphasize on those that are specific to the province, and where there may have been a commonality from other provinces, I would not dwell much, but indicate that I agree with Free State or agree with Mpumalanga. The question of under expenditure in the first quarter, Chair, I agree it's something undesirable, and we cannot take pride from that. But on quarter one, usually, especially as it happened in our case, we had to change our database of service providers that we have been using from previous financial, and we were all locked down in that. But we have since, closed up that process, and we are hoping then that contracting has taken place, and we'll be improving on our expenditure, particularly on the conditional grants and so on. So we are hoping for some improvement in the process, in the expenditure. On the use of the drought tolerant seed, I would be frank, we haven't.
That is the intervention, Honorable Maloy.
No, Chair, it's just a very short intervention. I'm going to suggest that we request Northwest to, they should not behave like Limpopo and Mpumalanga and take more than 30 minutes in answering questions. If they can take less than 10 minutes, I'll tell you why, Chair. Most of the members are going back to the parks, and by 8 o'clock they won't have transport. So we must be out of here by 7:45. That is the latest. Thank you very much.
I'll try and do it in 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. That's
On the drought tolerant cultivars by ARC, we will approach them. We haven't approached them before, and that will be spelled out in our comprehensive drought. That will be spelled out in our crop production plan to indicate to what extent are we using the seeds from ARC. The sustainability of projects, I think I would agree with members that we do thorough work when we select the project, but yes, from time to time, we would be facing some challenges where National and DAF would intervene in terms of its monitoring and evaluation processes to rectify the situation. So we are not just leaving the situation as it is. Chair, moving forward again, the Simu ya Kosi, I take the compliment. I also take the caution that's been raised about a potential conflict that may arise, but we will try and work that into our framework and into our way of doing things. On the boreholes, I agree with all the members. We will be part of those. We will be submitting a detailed report to say where are the boreholes, their GPS, and so on. Secondly, another report on the impact of drought on the human aspect by Honorable State, linking that with the assessment of the dam levels. We will submit a comprehensive report on that. AgriParks is it advisable to continue with AgriParks facing the situation? I think that is part of the collective assessment that we need to do, but knowingly, I know AgriParks would have the production, you would have the value adding, and even the market. If we tend to want to change, stop that, we may well be suggesting to stop some agricultural activities, particularly for the smallholder farmer. The Springbok Ban, what is its current status? The Springbok Ban is operational, Honorable Steyn, but to depict the details, I will submit a full report that would say what is the production status, what is the infrastructure status, and what is the value-adding status that you are doing, and the marketing as well. There were questions about the outputs that we didn't specify. We will correct that in our next reporting. And the soil sampling questions, whether we do it every time, my understanding is that we don't do it every time, but there would be reasons for doing it, and that would also become part of our crop production plan that we will submit in details. Loss of agricultural land, I agree with other provinces. We can try, but finally the SPLUMA empowers the municipality to some extent also to make certain decisions which we don't have control on. The Nguni, I agree with Mpumalanga and also Limpopo in terms of the support that we are doing, whether for the drought relief and also for the veterinary support. Setting aside 30% procurement, of goods by government from, our farmers and so on. We have a specific discussion at the level of our province because there has been some pronouncement made already by the Premier, and we are in touch with health, and we have signed an MOU with Sandaf. We are in discussion with health, social development, and also the education to draw up the plan. We will update the committee as and when we appear during the sessions as to progress in that regard. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
No, I'm not giving you a chance to speak because we don't have time. I need to continue the meeting tomorrow. So we'll see how do we factor in if there are follow-ups, additions, and all other. I'm wrapping up to close the meeting. Just note it for tomorrow, if you're okay. One thing, provinces. I think Mpumalanga is talking about Masuele Masimini. Tetwa Tlala is a presidential project. It is run by president. Deliberately to take care of subsistence farmers and smallholder farmers. And to make sure that we focus on communal lands that has not been utilized for past 3 years. So which, it's not about chasing hectares only. It's about preparing that land to be utilized. Obviously, if the land has not been utilized for 3 years, it might not yield the result that you need. It's a part of the program to make those lands productive. So it shouldn't be a problem when you try to calculate and nothing comes out of that. It's part of the process, you must count those hectares. So it's very important to understand why hectares are. And if we were doing it correctly, we wouldn't have a problem with this Statistics South Africa report. Because we have focused directly. Because I've noticed that provinces, we are just continuing as we have been doing things without focusing on the program. And the department said the 70% of cost must be directed to FESATAL. So it should be the monitoring and evaluation, Honorable DDG. I'm saying Honorable so that you listen. It should then help us to monitor, because communal land is only land that is under traditional leaders. So there cannot be FESATAL anywhere except in communal land. So the purpose of the FESATAL is to put 1 million hectares in productive in communal land. And I'm happy that document that you've given to us, DDG, which gives definition of what is subsistence and what is communal land, what is that, give it to provinces so that tomorrow we're talking about the same thing. Because I've realized that even the hectares, and there is a target, it's 1 million hectares. It's not a choice whether we should just
know what, I'm moving from 40,000 to 10,000. What informs that? Whether there is a drought, but there is a target of 1 million. How do we reach 1 million? So I think there is a target, we must stick to target. So I'll want you to give them that document so that those that are presenting tomorrow, they must understand this definition and what we expect from them. It's not an automatic, and AgriPark, they might be part of Petatala because they are most in communal areas, but you must see that it's part of that. It's actually continuation. There is that continuation of those sectors. What we must learn from other provinces, the Mpumalanga issue of youth program, bringing all graduates to do agriculture, I think it's very important. And all provinces, let's go and trace the state land and come back to, we'll work with you to get the rural development, to give it to agriculture, to put those graduates in those lands. Let's learn this for those state lands in all the provinces. the issue of Eskom, if your Eskom in other provinces is not helping like what Limpopo is doing, educating farmers how to to irrigate and all those things with these challenges of climate change and other things. Let's get Limpopo, use the Limpopo, get their contact and get that Eskom manager to talk to other managers to educate farmers around this is the Eskom, so that we're able to beat two birds with one stone. I think the last thing on the drought resistance, we must get how many have been produced by ARC and those small companies, and have the number of tons, and see how, and national must help to get those things in. Must go to provinces, must be bought by provinces, all of them, because we don't want to have any land that does not produce what we want. But in other areas, the community says we have our own seed. But where we provide, we must give that one. So, The last thing is on the OPP support to smallholder farmers. Note it for tomorrow, Honorable Mania, so that you can give us answer on it. How do we get OPP to support smallholder farmers? Yeah, and then the good news is that those provinces that will not be here, that's good news. Auditor General will be auditing yourself, no longer auditing national. So, because of your delay of sending reports and other things, we're asking to consider auditing you as province on conditional grant, which will use your business plan to audit you. So I'm just preparing you so that as he comes, finds you ready. And we'll ask him to audit even the impact of the project. So that's what the Auditor General will be doing in the provinces. So that is good news, obviously. is it not good? No. I thought you would clap hands for the chair. So I think that's the end of the meeting. We'll then start tomorrow at 9 o'clock. You have two questions to respond to national tomorrow. Thank you very much. Provinces, you are encouraged to be here tomorrow because South Africa is going to present, Land Bank is going to present, farmers are complaining that they are not accessing that 400 million that government has budgeted for them with lecture. We encourage you to be here tomorrow. And if members will still have a question tomorrow for, like Honorable said, we still want you to answer those questions. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow. Same venue. Sorry, tomorrow we're meeting same venue. Yeah. 9 o'clock, not 9 o'clock, not 9:30. Not 9:30, 9 o'clock. Thank you.